Hello everyone and welcome. This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning, bringing you a half hour special on this most solemn of days in the Christian year, Good Friday, the day Jesus died on the cross. We'll be taking a closer look at one psalm in particular and its significance to Christians over the centuries, hoping to shed more light on the most famous death in history. So come close, come and see what you make of it all.
Come and see, come and see, come and see the King of love. See the purple robe and crown of thorns he wears. Soldiers mock, rulers sneer, as he lifts the cruel cross. Lone and friendless now he climbs towards the hill. And we worship at your feet, where wrath and mercy meet. And the guilty world is washed by love's pure stream. Sin, oh help me take it in. Deep wounds of love cry out, Father, forgive. I worship, I worship the Lamb.
Come and
mourn for your sin that pierced him there, so much deeper than the wounds of thorn and nail. All our pride,
all our greed,
all our fallenness and shame, and the Lord has laid the punishment on him.
Then we worship at your feet, where wrath and mercy meet.
And the guilty world is washed by love's pure stream.
Take it in.
Deep wounds of love cry out, Father, forgive. I worship, I worship the Lamb who was slain.
Our reading for today is the whole of Psalm 22, which was written 1,000 years before the time of Jesus. And whereas some say it refers to King David or the people of Israel, Christians believe the entire psalm fits Jesus' death by crucifixion so well. It's all about an innocent person suffering unjustly at the hands of his enemies who are out to kill him. They gather round like wild animals about to savage him. The one who suffers can't understand why God appears to have deserted him in his hour of great need. Before Jesus died, he cried out these words, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which is the first sentence of the psalm you're about to hear now. I'm reading verses 1 to 5. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me and are so far from my salvation, from the words of my distress? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not answer, and by night also, but I find no rest. Yet you are the Holy One, enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Our forebears trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried out to you and were delivered. They put their trust in you and were not confounded. This psalm seems to say, why me of all people? You've delivered our people in the past, why forsake me now? Jesus never lost his faith, but on the cross he found that he'd lost that very real closeness with God and felt he'd been abandoned. The sins of humankind weighed heavily upon him, separating him for the first time from his Father's presence, and he couldn't bear it. He simply couldn't see God anymore.
Oh, sacred head, now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded, with thorns thy only crown, how with sore abuse and scorn. How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn? What thou, my Lord, hast suffered, vouchsafe to me thy grace.
Reading now verses 6 to 8. But as for me, I am a worm and no man, scorned by all and despised by the people. All who see me laugh me to scorn. They curl their lip and wag their head, saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him deliver him. Let him deliver him if he delights in him. The one who suffers here describes himself as a worm, not human anymore, helpless without strength. No one cares if he lives or dies. The onlookers express their contempt with all kinds of grim gestures and scornful expressions on their faces. They even mock God's favour to him. To be suffering excruciating pain and have someone laugh at you adds mental cruelty to the physical torture, especially so when that person's punishment is undeserved. St. Luke, recording Jesus' crucifixion, tells us, the people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the Chosen One.
Thank you.
And now verses 9 to 11. But it is you that took me out of the womb and laid me safe upon my mother's breast. On you was I cast ever since I was born. You are my God even from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near at hand and there is none to help. Here in Psalm 22, God had constantly delivered the one who suffers from danger, right from his birth, but now he feels so alone and lost. Jesus was in danger too, right from his birth, because of a jealous and ruthless king. And throughout his ministry, there were those who opposed him and plotted his death. But God had protected him and guided him. But now he's all alone as evil surrounds him.
Man of sorrows, what an name for the Son of God who came, who led sinners to remain. Hallelujah, what a Savior. There is shame and sorrow in my place, one death is through. See my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Now verses 12 to 13. Mighty oxen come around me. Fat bulls of Bashan close me in on every side. They gape upon me with their mouths, as it were a ramping and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart has become like wax, melting in the depths of my body. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaves to my gums. You have laid me in the dust of death, for the hounds are all about me. The pack of evildoers close in on me. They pierce my hands and my feet. Crucifixion was unknown when this psalm was written, and now we hear about an execution where bones are out of joint, the heart is melting, there's a terrible thirst and a despairing spirit, which ends with the sufferer's hands and feet being pierced or punctured. Does it not sound awfully like crucifixion to you?
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet.
Now listen to these next few verses from Psalm 22. Bear in mind they were written almost 1,000 years before the time of Jesus. I'm reading from verse 17. I can count all my bones. They stand staring and looking upon me. They divide my garments among them. They cast lots for my clothing. Be not far from me, O Lord. You are my strength. Hasten to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my poor life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of wild oxen. Somehow this person is stretched out in such a way that his bones stand out. They're obvious. He's able to count them. And then comes the final humiliation. His clothes have been removed and are now divided and gambled over. This is what the Roman soldiers did to Jesus. They also divided his outer clothing and cast lots for his tunic. But not once in all this, not once has this victim in Psalm 22 cursed his enemies or confessed a sin or shown remorse or sorrow, not even anger. The New Testament tells us that Jesus prayed for those who persecuted him, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." He was actually quoting what a Jewish high priest says on the Day of Atonement as he prays to God for sinful Israel. Even the prophet Isaiah once prophesied, "He was numbered with the criminals, for he bore the sin of many and prayed for those who sinned against him."
Angry faces round you, howling at you, mocking crowds all jeering as they pierce you through. Enemies are sneering and tormenting. It was then I heard you whispering, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do to me." Then I saw you looking at them, in your eyes, totally rejected by your people, totally dejected as they call you names, totally ignored they play their gambling games. It was then I heard you.
But now, all of a sudden, in verse 21, the tone of the psalm changes. He shouts out, "You have answered me," it says almost triumphantly. And from this moment, there is no more lamenting, no more begging for God's help through prayer. It seems as if the sun has come out at last in the dark sky. The victim has his answer. He knows now his sacrifice has not been in vain. He's been vindicated. From here until the very end of Psalm 22, the one who suffers tells us, "I will tell of your name to my people. In the midst of the congregation will I praise you." In verse 25, he says, "From you comes my praise in the great congregation. I will perform my vow in the presence of those that fear you." And in 27, he says, "All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation shall bow before him." In other words, God's plan is complete. He will live again and speak once more to his people, and God will be glorified to the ends of the earth. As Christians, we believe this refers to the resurrection of Jesus and all he accomplished on the cross. Christians believe that Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice, and now no other sacrifice was necessary to take away the sins of all humankind. Psalm 22 ends with, "God has done it," or "it is accomplished." These were Jesus' last words. "It is finished, it is accomplished." Today, let's remember all those around the world who suffer, especially those who are persecuted for their faith. This morning, you've been listening to songs sung by Graham Kendrick, Ferdinand Ortega, the Whitewell Tabernacle Choir, Catherine Scott, myself, and Stuart Townend. Thank you for listening to our programme today. We're back again this Sunday, Easter Sunday, to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. I leave you to reflect on these words from John 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that all who believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Bye for now.
To see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath we stand forgiven at the cross. The pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin. Every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your bloodstained brow. This the power. Its maker.